This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You got mail.
Hello, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians. And on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you don't have to.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. And guys, today we have an incredible guest with us. We are so excited. I know I wasn't here last week for our incredible guest.
I know, you missed out.
But I got to listen. I got to listen to the podcast as a listener
for the first time ever,
which was a wonderful experience. Today, we have with us. He's a comedian. He's a writer. He writes for TV. He writes the That's Marvelous newsletter. His stand-up special, People Pleaser, is out now. Just an all-around great guy, fun friend. It's Josh Gondelman.
Yay! Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. Welcome.
Wow. Welcome to the Go Touch Grass.
I need it.
Pantheon.
I'm too online.
Yeah, we're the same. Like, I feel like you're someone who's like online, but like isn't sick in the head. That makes me happy.
My wife kind of marvels that like, because if we spend the same amount of time online, she'll come away just like, I have to go to space. Like, I can't be around people anymore. Yeah. And I'll be like, oh, that's pretty good. But
do you guys generally have the same online habits? Because I would say, like, me and my husband, I'm so plugged in, and he has no
idea. No, we're both pretty plugged in. We have, like, slightly different overlapping worlds. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
like,
she's like an author or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we're not talking about any of your accomplishments. It's all about your wife.
She has a book that she has coming out next year. Yeah, yeah. She very just exciting. Started a new column for Lit Hub. It's really great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's
so
a really wonderful writer.
So let's just keep talking about your
wife. Could do it the whole time. Aww. Big time wife guy over here.
Super wife guy, yeah. But I'm saying, so she's in like the book, which there's a lot of drama that we've
totally.
Book talk.
A lot book of book talk drama.
A lot of author shit. But you're in a whole different space.
You're
in
the comedy space where sometimes I have to explain, like, where she'll be like, what's Matt Rife? And I'll have to be like, well, long ago. Like, years ago, they rebooted a show called TRL.
And it's like, oh, like, man.
Let's talk about crowd work
videos.
Yeah, what do you
totally.
Know about crowd work
videos? Yeah, it's like how much context. And she just has like, she has enough context just from my rantings and ramblings around the house. But it's like, sometimes you're like, oh, right, this person, not Matt Rife necessarily, but, like, this person will bubble up in the comedy community every few years, and you have to explain, like, some weird context for, like, a guy that, you know, did one thing 15 years ago, and then people keep referencing it or whatever.
Yes, yeah, with my husband, it's very, like, a discourse will have happened, it'll be completely done, I'll be minding my own business, and then Danny will come in and be like, you heard about this guy, Matt Rife?
Yeah.
Watched his special, and it was pretty bad.
It's like, really, yeah. It's really funny. My mom one time, she like 2 years ago or something, she's like, look at Shane. Do you know Shane Gillis? And I'm like, oh my God.
She's like,
did you see this thing on SNL where Shane Gillis got fired? And I'm like, oh boy.
All right, mom.
Just another mom thing. She's like, what's Huna Tenth? What's Juneteenth? What's Juneteenth? And I'm like, what? And she's like, June. And I'm like, Juneteenth. She's like, I saw everyone online, and I had to explain to her in Spanish.
Right.
What Juneteenth is.
Sure.
She's like, oh, yeah.
That's this is kind of unrelated to discourse, but my dad did see My uncle, we were at Christmas, and my uncle brought this little girl who was at our Christmas thing. He bought her this, like, off-brand light-up Elsa that played Let It Go, and it went around on, it could, like, wheel around on its own, and it had wings, which I think is how they got around it really being Elsa, because Elsa doesn't have wings.
Okay.
But this one did.
In the canon, she doesn't.
And I referred to her as Elsa, and my dad goes, oh, is she Hispanic? Because the only Elsas he knows are, like, other old Cuban women. Yeah. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
No, Dad, she's from, like, Finland.
Yeah. Straight up Scandinavian.
Yeah, like, super white.
It just made me realize that this Christmas was the first time my dad had ever heard of Elsa. And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, well.
But why would he?
His daughters. One time I was walking through the Bronx and this dad was, like, washing his car and his little daughter was, like, running around. And she's like, Papi, I'm Elsa. And he's like, El qué? Like, what? And that just reminds me of that. Like, and that guy has daughters.
Yeah.
That age. So, you know.
I think my parents would know. Like, I bet with my dad, he would know that there is an Elsa. Mm-hmm. Probably could connect it to Frozen. Probably knows Let It Go. And then that's where it ends, where he's just like, why would I know the rest of it, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's
a lesbian.
He knows her resume.
Yeah.
Like, actually, many people think that she's closeted, Dad.
Okay, and then two online.
Like the queer icon, the Babadook. What?
That's two online. Yeah.
Your parents' eyes just roll back into their head. All right. So, Josh, I explained this a little to you before you came on, but we have a main segment on the show called The Discourse. Yeah. Before we get into that, though, you have been a discourse in your past. I'm talking, of course, about the time a deluge of comedians on Twitter all started trying to get you to do cocaine.
Yeah.
Which resulted in a change.org petition with over 500 signatures at the time of the Vulture article that I read about it this morning. Mm-hmm. So my question for you before we get started is, what was that experience like and how high are you right now?
Okay, there's two great questions. I'm going to start with the second one. Not high. Okay. Don't do cocaine. Okay. That wasn't a recommendation. I can't tell you how to live. Mm-hmm. I was saying I don't do cocaine. But it was Matt Koff's bit, Daily Show writer Matt Koff, who's a very funny comedian. And he tweeted, will you do cocaine with me? It was like a long-running thing that he would be like, today's the day that I finally do cocaine. Mm-hmm. And he would do this for a long time. And then Paul F. Tompkins decided that somehow I had reneged on a promise to Matt to do cocaine with him. Mm-hmm. So that's how the change.org petition started. This was probably 3.5 years ago. It's still going strong. And it finally fully crossed over, like, because I think almost everyone that knows about it knows that it's, like, a long-running bit, even if they don't know the beginning of it. But I did last week, someone in my life texted me and was like, I hate to do this, but do you actually know where I could get some cocaine? And I was like, I don't. I was like, I know enough dirt bags that if it was a life and death situation, I could find cocaine. Like, if it was some kind of, like,
you could just go back to change.org.
That's right. That's right.
I feel like I signed it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, this doesn't feel like it's a life and death issue. So,
I'm not my favorite thing about everything you shared is it just reveals so much about you. One, Josh is connected in the industry. Josh knows people. He's name dropping. Does he need help picking up all the names he dropped? Daily Show writer, Paul F. Tompkins.
Wow.
Look at that. And two, petitions don't work.
That's right. That's right.
Because Josh still has not done.
I know. That's true. All you have to do is say no to a petition.
Yeah. He's got totally normal pupils sitting here. And
that's right.
Listening.
Thank you.
Pupils are just the exact
locked
normal
in.
Size.
Yeah, dilated exactly to the light in the room.
Josh, you've also became known for giving people pep talks online. In recent weeks, Elmo has been going viral for asking people and checking in with people on Twitter. Do you feel like Elmo kind of stole your thing when he went viral for asking people how they were doing last week? Do you have any beef you'd like to start with Elmo on the pod right now?
I mean, I feel like Elmo has his hands full beefing with Larry David right now.
Yeah, we just wanted to kind of try to get in on some of that.
Yeah, ride that lightning. Sure.
Exactly. It seems like people are really talking about Elmo right now.
I'm not trying to chase club by starting with Elmo. I will say, I feel like I have more of a Grover vibe.
You know interesting.
What? Yeah.
I would say that Grover is, like, not one of the ones I'm super familiar with to know his personality.
He worked at a restaurant. And
I didn't know that.
Right? Doesn't he always like get the like bald guy at his table, and he's always fucking up the order, and he's like a superhero and all
he
that.
He does the super grower thing. I knew. Super I forgot grower. That he had a day job.
Well, unfortunately, hashtag American economy.
Yeah, it's not enough to be a Muppet anymore.
It's not enough to be a Muppet. We all got to do. Listen, I was filling out substitute teacher applications. It is hard. It's hard out here. And even a fucking Muppet who's been working in the industry how long? 30-something years?
Yeah.
50 years?
Yeah.
Got to get a day job. Yeah. And he works as a waiter.
And I wonder what those rents are like on Sesame Street. They're probably skyrocketing.
No, they're super gentrified. They must have a rent-stabilized apartment.
Maybe. But you see how it started off with all black people and people of color? And now we're getting more and more white people? Clearly, it's gentrified Sesame Street. And, we got to, check that out.
Let's just hope the Grover owns that brownstone.
So, yeah, let's hope. So what you're saying is, Elmo could only beef with one Jewish comedian at a time.
That's right.
And that's like Larry David.
I think that's right.
And you are like taking a step back. Also, I would say Elmo's checking in with people. You're giving people pep talk.
Yeah. Elmo really just kind of opened himself up to it and then was like, wow, thanks for sharing, everybody. I feel so bad
for the Sesame.
I am. I try to. And that's what I do in the newsletter, too. I do pep talks every week. That's marvelous.
Can you give an example of a pep talk?
Yeah. So the one today was.
Can you give me one? I need it.
Someone wrote in today about how they are a non-binary person with very long hair, and they're like, I've been hoping for a long time. I've been thinking about getting like a shorter, more, they said like a queer haircut, yeah. And shorter. And they said like, this is the kind of thing that long hair makes me present as more feminine. And it feels like I'm kind of getting by with something, like by presenting a certain way. And it smooths some friction about presenting a different way. And I said, I that's not something specifically that I've dealt with, of like having a haircut that like affirms or states my gender specifically, mm-hmm. but I am a person who went from having some hair to having less hair.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay. You can do it. People will comment, but they were going to comment before. And I think like you can always go back to having more hair if you don't like how it feels to have less hair, but try not to rub it in, okay? Because we don't all have that option.
Wow. And there you have it, folks. Josh Gondelman is the Mr. Rogers of the online community. But I will also say, Mr. Rogers probably has done cocaine.
You think so?
At a party?
Maybe.
Mr. Rogers is fine.
I guess he was like pretty like the time that
he people.
Was the times where he was very popular. I feel like was a very like high partying time. He's not worried about fentanyl. He's not worried.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's not worried about anything. I feel like maybe he's that. I don't know. Did Mr. Rogers go to Studio 54?
But I feel like probably.
He gets in, he takes off his cardigan,
Drew Barrymore was there. She was like 12.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
But I'm just like, when we known Mr. Rogers, he was like older.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm saying in his party days.
When he was a youth?
When he was a youth, he was, he was doing a little bit of the nose candy.
Back when he was just, back before he was Mr. Rogers, back when he was just Freddie R.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go.
Well, back then I knew him as Freddie.
Yeah, we all called him Freddie. Fast Freddie Rogers.
Yeah, well.
Dude, you know Fast Freddie Rogers? That dude was like a hoover.
All right. I'm going to move us on to our game.
Okay.
So we play a game. This is our classic Go Touch Grass game. It's called What Are They Talking About?
Okay.
And the way this game works is I'm going to read you a reply from Twitter, and you and Millie will guess what this person could possibly have been replying to.
Okay.
And we've only had one person guess, and it's because they had seen the tweet.
Don't feel
obligated.
No one's like supposed to win.
Okay. Will still feel bad if I don't.
Okay, well, that's fine. And that's fine. So this is a tweet from James. His handle is at James708898896.
Okay.
So,
oh, I know him.
So James, you know
Jimmy.
James.
Yeah, he's in Macedonia.
This is the tweet. Please put walls between urinals in men's bathroom at Citi Field, Mets. This is 2024. Men feel uncomfortable and don't pee next to men urinating. Fights can happen when men look at the penis of other men. At CBS New York, at NBC New York, at Fox 5 New York, at Stephen A. Cohen 2, at New York Post, at New York Daily News. Can you guys guess what this man was replying to. Your hint is the Mets.
I would say Mrs. Met posted a selfie.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good guess.
I'm going to guess the Mets official account posted like a picture of a pitcher's like hand throwing a ball. Mm-hmm. And it's like pitchers and catchers. Like it's like a countdown till spring training or till pitchers and catchers reporting.
Yeah, because it's not even baseball season.
Yeah, no. those are really, really good guesses.
This guy's so afraid of seeing someone's dick.
Yeah, I know. He's thinking about it months ahead of time.
It was a response to the Mets official account.
Okay.
Saying, we are proud to celebrate Black History Month. It's just them and just a graphic of the Mets saying, it's Black History Month. Well, and he said, men cannot be seeing the penis of other men.
I mean, there's a little correlation. It's not like the smooth criminal, this is America before economic downturn. Do I agree? Is this a good way to
get
that change made? No.
Petition's not going to do it.
Because clearly, look, Josh don't believe in petitions, but I'm just like, this one of all the ones that we've had so far, of what are we talking about? Like the guy who said he feels like he's living in North Korea because there's a plastic ban, or the person who said smooth criminal was the peak of him. I would say this one, I could see the fucked up logic.
Totally.
It's like how James got this reply.
And there is like enough connective tissue, right? Like he was talking about the Mets and where they play baseball. Yeah. So you go, okay, he's got that going for him. Because I feel like a lot of the time when a tweet is like that intense and kind of like out in space a little bit, that could be a reply truly to anything. Yeah. Like that could have been someone being like, it could have been like Anna Kendrick being like, it's a beautiful day, I'm going to go for a jog. And he'd be like, the Mets need partitions.
This is 2024. Men feel uncomfortable.
And also, that 2024 is like, come on, get with the program. It's 2024. Now men have started to feel uncomfortable.
It's been decades and centuries of men feeling like they don't want to see other penises.
Fights can happen. Fights can happen when men look at the penis.
So you look over at someone's dick and then they're punching you.
Two guys' dicks out, punching each other in the face.
I mean, Jesus. I'm also like, this is also my conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat time, but it's James 778. You know, I joked that it was Macedonia because of all the numbers, but this is the kind of shit that like Russian, you know, bot people. It's not even bots. It's like they pay people to sow discord and disunity and like make really bold statements that cause fights. And this does sound like something
bot is trying to sow discord among Mets fans by creating.
So this is like an attempt to like tear democracy apart.
Yeah. It starts here, and then you create the wedge issue, which is
partitions.
And as a man in 2024, Josh, do you think we need partitions?
Come down one way or another on this.
I'm not against partitions. I think it's like nice to have a little privacy in a public space like that. Okay. I truly can't imagine getting into a fight over that.
I'm just like, aren't you doing your business? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, are you looking at other dicks when you're peeing?
When I was growing up, there was just a straight up trough at Fenway Park. Yeah. Like it wasn't even urinals.
Boston.
Yeah. That you would just pee like where horses would eat from in the bathrooms at Fenway Park. So that's like, I get if he was like, it's 2024, I don't want to pee in a trough. I'd be like, sure.
I do feel like the last line about fights kind of is more of a James specific problem.
Totally.
That's
he's getting in fights in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Maybe
what's
a lot.
Even to fight? Like,
I don't know.
Well,
he said that it's because he feels uncomfortable. I think James sees a penis, he gets uncomfortable, and then he's not liable for his actions at that point.
I think it's the other way. Huge penis.
Yeah.
Huge penis, and he's so self-conscious about it. And he's like, I'm tired of people looking at my huge schlong.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do they say schlong in Queens?
I think they say schlong in Queens.
Okay. Well.
I think it's closer to that, right? I don't think it's like, I see a penis, I fly into a rage. I think he's like, if a guy looks at my penis, I don't know what to do. Yeah. What does that mean?
What does it mean?
It's so funny because in other countries, like, I'm just like, one of my favorite things is going to a bathhouse in Japan, like,
sure,
and the American, you know, there's one's Korean, I don't know, and it's just like, nudity is part of life in sure. many other places.
Yeah,
but here it's like, I can't pee, and how long?
Including the bathrooms at City Field. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, how long does peeing take?
Right.
Like, it's not. I don't know. I'm just like, this guy can't go to an onsen. I don't know.
Yeah. No, he certainly can't. One time when Danny and I went to Berlin, we were at this like lake, and a bunch of people were like sunbathing naked, whatever.
Sure.
And there was this guy who had rented a stand-up paddleboard, and he was like, he was alone off in the distance. He had like long flowing hair, very fit, very tan. He was stand-up paddleboarding completely naked so fast that okay. it looked like he was like going somewhere. Like, it looked like he was on his way to work.
He was on his way to fight.
Yeah, he was going so fast, and like his hair was flowing, his dick was out, and I was like, that's honestly the most majestic thing I've ever seen. Like, that person is truly free.
That's like as close as a person can be to being a bird, I think.
It really was. It was like, I have the image, like the sun was behind him. I was like, this is the most free person I've ever seen.
That's
in
incredible. I'd be so worried, like, a bird would fly into my penis, though.
Yeah,
into your penis, Joe?
Not like up it, but like that's into the side of it.
Yeah,
into the side. Yeah, I mean, that can happen anytime.
That's true. Yeah.
That could happen at any time to anyone.
The pigeons, lay off the cocaine, Josh.
The pigeons in our city are relentless.
I know.
All right, I'm going to get us into the discourse.
Yes, okay. Let's do it.
So this is a great discourse for us today because on the day of the recording, we just, the Grammys were last night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Relevant.
It's very relevant. So today we are talking about Universal Music Group removing all of its music from TikTok. Are you guys familiar with the fact that this has happened?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm obsessed.
So basically what happened was, after months of tense negotiations between UMG, which is the largest music company in the world, it's like them at the top and then like Sony and Warner are kind of like next, I guess. They pulled their entire catalog from TikTok after these months of negotiations around... Josh, you were a strike captain, as we talked about. Let me know if any of these issues seem relevant to you, if they spark anything for you. Payouts for artists, use of AI. Mm-hmm. All of these things are kind of what the debate was around between the two of them. But what the result has been is that, like, late last week, UMG pulled all of its music. Now, any TikToks that use a Universal Music Group, like, any of their artists are now silent, which is very, very funny because now there's, like, a large number of TikToks of just, like, very conventionally attractive young women doing elaborate dances to nothing.
Sure. Well, I when I scroll, I, like, almost never have my sound on, so that's what I see anywhere. Anyways, I, like, never am on board with the song memes because I, like, don't listen. I'm just like, oh, they're all doing the same thing. Wonder
why. That's what I like about Twitter. It's a silent platform.
Yeah, I like that.
But
it is tough with TikTok to be like I had to, you have to like change the settings for it to like open on mute.
Yeah.
And I had to do that because I'm like, I can't be immediately pulled into this world. But for the youths, not that we're not all extremely youthful, but like
Josh.
TikTok.
No, you called it right.
No, it's okay.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart. And then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One, the year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna, and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You got mail. But like TikTok is a very music-centered platform.
Totally.
That's kind of how it blew up. Yeah. Like the dances and lip syncing and like all of that stuff. And UMG, their music cover is like huge, huge artists. So Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, who has an album that's about to come out, The Weeknd, those are that's just like some UMG artists. And then I was also reading that. So there are other ones. So like Megan Thee Stallion's music is still on there because she's like Sony.
Okay.
But if this debate continues, what UMG can do is they can pull anyone who's even like a subsidiary of theirs. Like they can actually pull more music because they'll be like, well, we actually distribute Megan Thee Stallion's song in this market, so we can pull it. Like, so this is like phase one of them being able to pull the music. They actually can pull more music if they want.
It's so interesting to see these, right? Because it's not like record labels are legendarily generous to the artists they're representing. It's like, you can't screw over our artists. We screw over our artists.
Right. Kind of like the strike is being negotiated by HBO Max. Like,
yes.
It's like, you know, because, I mean, I'm sure you're going to get into it. Yeah, so we can move. Yeah, we're going to get into it, but it's like, The reality is, unless you're a Taylor Swift, you rely on TikTok for free promotion and all this stuff. And I'm sure, you're going to.
Yeah, so exactly what Millie was saying. This is a really big deal. It's a big deal for, like, huge artists, like a Taylor Swift or whatever. But it's really, like, I'm sure Ariana Grande is not happy that TikTok is, like, that she can't put her music on TikTok. But what it's a really big deal for is smaller artists, because now they can't promote any new music that they have coming out. And TikTok, as of right now, it's basically considered the most common way for people to discover new music. There are tons of, like Old Town Road blew up on TikTok. Yep. Driver's License blew up on TikTok. TikTok will also, like, make songs have a resurgence. So, like, after Stranger Things used Running Up That Hill, it was all over TikTok. Now, because of Saltburn, Murder on the Dance Floor is all over
there
TikTok.
There was the Mountain Goat song, No Children, was like a big TikTok trend. There was like a dance.
Yes. And so like it can revive your song at any, like your song can blow up on TikTok at any time. And they were also, TikTok is either currently releasing or like they're about to release a feature where you can pre-save a song directly to Spotify from someone's profile.
Oh, interesting.
So that's like a huge, huge deal too, because I just know that when I follow musicians or anyone, they're always like pre-save.
Yeah.
So that, to take that like direct way, to put another step when it's like, oh, this artist, you can directly pre-save their stuff because they're Sony, but because I'm UMG, you're gonna have to like click extra links. That'll like bring your reach down. That'll make it so people can't, you know.
And this is coming like kind of at the same time, right, as didn't Spotify recently announce that they were raising the threshold for what it even takes to like start paying out residuals?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Apple Music kind of did the inverse where like artists have to pay in more to get into the system, like to like register their music with them. So it really just feels like these huge titans are fighting. Like it's like like Godzilla. I don't know if this is how it happened in the movies, but like Godzilla and Mothra are fighting, but they're destroying the city.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, like, it's like it really is very much like that, because what I've been seeing in the research that I did is that artists are pretty unhappy with the fact that this has happened.
Yeah.
And like, I'm gonna actually scroll down. Hold on. Okay. So they're like pretty conflicted and divided on what they're doing. And it's, I think, one of the big differences between what we all went through with the strike and this is that it's not like they're in a union and voted to strike and they knew this was coming and they were part of the negotiations and whatever.
Totally.
It's that UMG had this issue with TikTok. UMG got pissed and UMG unilaterally decided to pull all their music. And like, there, I pulled statements from a bunch. There's this Australian DJ, Alice in Wonderland. Oh, now that I say the name out loud.
Wow.
DJ Alice in Wonderland. That's good. DJ Alice in Wonderland, if you're listening, that's good. posted a thing being like, you took all my music off arguably the world's biggest social media platform and you did it without asking.
Yeah.
You know? And the Grammy nominee Noah Kahan, he was nominated last night for Best New Artist. He had that song that's like, hell, I love Vermont, but it's the city of the sticks, and I... Have you heard...
Stick it's season? Not, is yes, that what it's called?
Yes.
My very acoustic white guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my FYP. But I have a little anecdote, but I'll let you...
My friend Marcos that I went to high school with plays drums in his band, which is pretty cool. Yeah, it's really awesome.
Very
he got to play SNL with him, which is cool. Yeah, that rules.
Yeah, I know that there's this, like, on Black TikTok, there's this song that's, like, really, really popular now where, you know, it's like, nobody knows me like you do. It's by Mooney Long. Mm-hmm. And it's literally like the trend is like people who, you know, like you're talking to the sandwich guy and it's like, you're the only one who knows.
Oh, that's funny.
Like,
that's yeah.
But that song was blowing up and it was in turn like causing her to like really be popping. And then when this happened, she just like pissed. And then what is happening now is that people are posting like things that you use, it's really funny, but things that you use like songs for, like when they're doing nails or like wig installs or this and that, but then there's like janky covers of like somebody with a terrible voice
singing that's the funny. Song
and then putting it on. So you see this beautiful woman getting a wig installed or getting a weave installed and it's like, you know, serious work of displaying artistry. And then on the background, it's like, oh, no.
That's so funny.
And like, but that girl's pissed because she's like.
I bet.
You know, it's like the guy who did Bad Habit. Remember that song? It's a bad habit. Steve Lacy.
Yeah.
That song blew up. He did this like sold out tour around the world. Like it just like elevates your career in a new way.
Well, yeah, again, so this guy, Noah Kahan, who your friend is a drummer in his band, his song blew up on TikTok, and then he was nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys. He was at the Grammys last night. So, like, it is a huge deal, and he kind of had a similar thing to say, which is, like, I guess he has new music coming out, and he can't promote it.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of artists, what they've been coming back to is just, like, you guys just did this.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't, there's no... Because it's not a union, it's just the record label that owns your stuff. They can just do whatever, and they can't ask you or tell you or get input. Even Jack Antonoff was asked backstage at the Grammys last night, and he said, there's a lot of things wrong with the industry. Last time I was here, we were talking about ticketing. You've always got to make sure as an artist you can't get used to being paid less, which they try to get you used to. But I think it's ass backwards, and at the very least, we should have known.
Yeah.
So it's basically like... It's put these artists, I think, in this weird position of, like, kind of having to advocate for themselves to be paid less. It's like, okay, I don't want to advocate for myself to be paid less, but also, like, you guys fucked me over by doing this, and I don't know that, like, this is how we would have all wanted to do it.
And it's, I think another thing about it, right, it's not just, like, artists decided that TikTok was the best way to do it. It's like, it feels like more and more record labels are saying, like, TikTok is the vehicle that we use for promotion, right? So they're creating this situation in part, or they're feeding into this situation where like, oh, we see that this can help artists pop, and so we're just gonna like make that our promotion plan, and then to pull the rug out from under the artists, it's like, well, now the artists are suffering and your giant $1 billion record label is gonna be fine.
Well, and they like I've read stuff about how record labels are making like we're purposefully making songs shorter, making them more clippable, all of this stuff to try to make sure that there's a TikTok dance that goes with it. I always think about a song that ended up in my Spotify Wrapped, but that Meghan Trainor song that's like, I can have my Gucci on, whatever. It's like that song was literally developed for TikTok. Yeah. When she dropped it, it came with a dance. Like that is part of now the strategy for artists and for a record label. And I remember reading something about Adele's last album. Her label was basically trying to get her to like make shorter songs. Yeah. Fucking Adele doing a TikTok dance. It's very funny
she's
to think
like,
about.
Fake crying.
And she's big enough that she was like, no, I'm not going to and whatever. But as a young artist, imagine like you just completely catered your album to TikTok and then your record label is like, actually, we're taking everything off of TikTok.
Yeah,
and it's kind of, I mean, what's happening is, again, they're trying to acclimate artists to like get paid less, but also they're trying to acclimate like it's becoming impossible to not. The only way that you can make money now is touring, you know, and that's why the whole ticket debacle was big last year, because it's like people. You're doing all these tours and it's so unaffordable for your audience and you're not even getting in the money. And now it's like one of the ways that you can promote yourself or make some money by streams is getting taken from you without any say or anything. And at the, you know, on one end, it's like, you know, the labels have been making things marketable on TikTok, but at the, you know, at the end of the day, like the majority of the way that shit goes viral is free marketing from people.
Yeah,
people are making these things, like using it. I know that, like, again, that's how, you know, I don't necessarily listen to Afro beats at home every day, but the biggest Afro beat song, Love, I can't pronounce the Nwati or something.
Is that the guy? There was, I bet he was the guy at the Grammys last night. I don't remember, but there was an Afro beats like performance at the Grammys last night.
Yeah, but it's just like, hearing somebody use that in the background of their vacation, or my boyfriend bought me flowers, like these things that people are making and using your song as the background, that's free marketing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not, Universal Music is not paying people to show like a nail job or their home renovation to the background of their song.
Right.
So these people are doing it and then somebody else likes the song and then they're going to use it and they're going to use it. So that is free marketing. And it's like, because Universal Music doesn't think TikTok is paying them enough or whatever, it's like now they're squandering the bag. And it's like in the long term, more people will know about, it's not about the actual money from the clicks. It's about the promotion overall. You know, it's like, you know, people are saying they're blocking their blessings because it's like, it's not just that, you know, people like are getting residuals from that. It's like the dance turns into, I'm going to save the song. The song turns into, I like this artist.
Yep.
I like this artist turns into, I'm going to go see their tour.
Totally.
I like their tour. I'm going to see their merch. And it's like, they're just stopping at the beginning. And they're stopping the whole pipeline, which is so greedy.
I wanted to shout out. That's what I was looking up. Some folks that organize with UMAW, the United Musicians and Allied Workers.
Oh, cool.
Which is like an org. I mean, there are also union musicians, right?
Yeah.
And they were like out in force during the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes, which is really cool. Like the days they came and like played were very awesome. But it's like people helping the music industry organize to ideally like collectively bargain and figure out like how to get the fair cut, right? Because, you know, Spotify goes, well, if we pay artists fairly, then there's no Spotify. And it's like, you don't get to have a business if your business model is stealing.
There's also no Spotify if there are no artists.
Yeah.
So what are you, I feel like that is the big thing that's missing here, is that it's not a union led situation. And so it's not actually, it's being done in the name of the artists, but like, is that actually it's being done for? And like, I will say TikTok's pay is really bad. I pulled some numbers and I guess they pay like I don't know exactly how this works, but they pay a lump sum rather than a revenue share situation. And they pay the labels less than half of what the labels get from Meta. I guess they like they recently like renegotiated with Meta and a bunch of these other platforms. YouTube was another big one.
YouTube is different.
So that's kind of what TikTok says, is they're like, YouTube's different. YouTube has YouTube Music. We don't have that. We're a promotional platform. But then at the same time, TikTok is releasing, like, now you can make 10-minute long videos.
Yeah.
Now you can do longer stuff. So
sure.
TikTok's response is to kind of be like, we're just a promotional platform and we don't get anything from hosting this music. And that's also kind of disingenuous too. Like, you guys...
It's completely disingenuous.
Yeah, like, you guys... The fact that music blows up on your platform is a big part of why your platform is famous. Your platform became famous from dancing to music and dancing clips and lip syncing and shit. So, like, don't act like you don't get anything from the fact that you're now the number one platform for finding new music.
Yeah. And it's
they're so MySpacing, basically. Because I remember back in the day, MySpace was how you found new music.
Absolutely. Yeah, I loved MySpace. MySpace was the best for music. And that's the same thing, too. There's this guy's TikTok account where all he does is find, like, his whole thing was finding artists on Spotify that have less than 200 plays and just blowing it up. And
that's
like,
fun.
That's how, and that's how I found a lot of my artists.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because... I mean, Republicans are always embarrassing, but we just had TikTok, like, in Senate congressional hearings, and Tom Cotton, who's a racist and a piece of shit, he, instead of, like, actually asking real good questions like, what are you doing with the things? Why are you making TikTok a home shopping network?
Yeah.
Why are you, this and that? It's like,
how does your algorithm work?
Data security.
Your
algorithm work?
It's Tom Cotton's questions to the CEO of TikTok was literally, are you in the Chinese Communist Party? Yeah. And the guy's like, I'm from Singapore. And he's like, so are you in the Chinese Communist
Party?
What language do you speak?
I'm from Singapore. Yeah, he's like, I've served in the Singaporean army.
Yeah. So it's like, because the guy's so racist, we're so stuck on that.
Yep.
We're not asking real questions that actually could help our country and our economy.
Oh, every time a social media company has to go before Congress, it's so
embarrassing. It's brutal.
It's unbelievable. They're like, how do I log into my Wi-Fi?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely what it is every
password?
Time. It's like, so this is like the radio. And you're like, oh, no, you're 500 years. Like, truly, you're truly 6 decades out of date with technology.
So you call it TikTok. Where's the clock?
Yep.
And you're like, what are you? Oh, my God. Brutal.
There's that or just straight up like, you know, my cousin is Republican and no one likes their tweets.
Yeah.
And that's depression.
Why is he shadow banned?
It's because
James just replied to me. Why aren't there barriers in the urinals at Citi Field? What do you have to say about that?
And the guy's like,
I'm from Singapore. I don't know.
I don't put the partitions in the men's bathrooms.
I'm not in charge of the sports bathrooms.
So it does seem like, it's going to be an ongoing situation. TikTok has kind of been like not really responding, but their one statement that they put out is basically this they put out on Twitter. It is sad and disappointing that Universal Music Group has put their own greed above the interests of their artists and songwriters. Despite Universal's false narrative and rhetoric, the fact is they have chosen to walk away from the powerful support of a platform with well over 1 billion users that serves as free promotional and discovery vehicle for their talent. Hmm. TikTok has been able to reach an artist-first agreement with every other label and publisher. Clearly, Universal's self-serving actions are not in the best interests of artists, songwriters, and fans.
This reminds me of when, like, some cable provider, like the Dish Network, will like, stop. They'll be in a fight with Disney and they'll stop carrying ESPN. And then ESPN will make all these commercials that they run other places that are like, you got to call them and tell them you want our network back.
Yeah.
And it's like, you fucking deal with it. Yeah, I'm just some guy.
I know. It's like, you want us. It's like, call your senator.
Yeah.
But instead of, like, something that ends a genocide or something that, you know, provides
health insurance
or something. It's
parental
like,
leave.
Call your people. Yeah. Call your representatives at Universal Music Group.
Yes.
And tell them to stop being greedy. And it's like, okay. But it's like, that was a really pointed and direct statement. But it's also like, I'm not going to root for TikTok.
I know.
You guys
that's
are also evil too. And greedy and whatever. So it's like, I can't root for anybody, but I feel bad for the artist.
Yeah, that's how it always is, right? It's like the artists lose. None of these like big corporate battles are for the benefit of the artist.
No.
Any benefit the artist sees is either ancillary or it's because the artist fought their own label or fought the platform for it.
Exactly. And it's just very, I don't know, it's so interesting to see this going down after all of us being in the entertainment industry and seeing like...
I'm so sorry. I laughed because you're like, after we've all been in the entertainment industry, oh yeah, yeah, that part of my career is done. But, I'm out of the industry.
Not
anymore.
No, we're podcasting.
we'll talk after.
To whatever degree there is an entertainment industry still, we are all working and
we're trying.
And we would
but
love
do you have those
work,
substitute teacher applications?
girl, they pay $200 a day. Okay. And that's all I'm saying.
And don't you have to get like a recommendation from
the
principal?
I know, that's the thing. That's the obstacle.
I can listen. I looked at the substitute teacher thing too, yeah, and you got to get a recommendation from a principal.
I don't think I know any principals.
No, you have to walk into a school and be like, hey, that you live around, and be like, hey, can I get the email of the principal? And usually the principals are so desperate, they'll be like, yeah, sure.
Wow, because that was what stopped me dead in my track. I was like, well, I don't know a principal.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. I don't know even one.
The thing is to go to like
the nepotism.
Five schools. I know.
The nepotism.
It's always who you know.
Yeah, yeah. Even fucking, you
always
know.
Always who you know.
School substitute teachers are nepo babies.
So my dad's not a principal?
Yeah.
My mom was a principal.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So we know. Wow, Josh nepo is a principal, babies. Nepo baby. He could be a sub anywhere.
That's right. That's right. I have a card that they show if I go into a school and someone gets mad at me, I show them the card. I'm like, friend of FOB, friend of principals.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, so this is an ongoing conversation. Yeah. We're going to put a pin in that discourse, and yes. I'm going to move us on to our next segment, which is called Cursed Content.
I'm ready.
Okay, this is our segment where we talk through some content that is cursed that we think reveals something deeply troubling about the world or would just upset us. And for this piece of cursed content, I didn't have to do any background research. All of the information is right there in the TikTok.
I sent it to Elise because it disturbed me.
Yeah, okay. This was actually sent to me on a couple different channels. Millie sent it to me. Many people were saying, Elise, have you seen this TikTok? And I was like, this is actually a perfect TikTok for us to show to Josh because it incorporates one of your interests, which is shoes, sneakers. Ooh, okay. You're known as a, I would say,
I'm
you're known as
sneaker
a sneaker,
yeah.
Sneaker guy.
I have too many sneakers. That's certainly true.
You have cool shoes,
thank
Josh.
You. That's very
I'll
kind.
I'll say it.
Thank
you. You got cool shoes.
Finally, someone says it.
So I'm very interested to get your take on what we're going to see here.
My husband and I have removed the bottoms of all of our shoes. We decided to start walking barefoot, and one of our followers had a great idea. Since some businesses don't want us being completely barefoot, if we cut off the bottom of our shoes, it'll allow us to be barefoot but blend in with everyone else. Mm-hmm. This is a huge commitment, but we were willing to make it. These are our favorite shoes. Our shoe collection is worth more than $20,000, but this is a sacrifice we're willing to take because walking barefoot means the world to us. The benefits of walking barefoot are priceless, so now our shoes are worth more than money could ever be. So today we got to work and started removing the bottoms. We weren't sure if this was going to be easy or hard, and it ended up being pretty easy. We made little shelves where our toes are and our heels are. We made a little lip on the bottom of the shoe where our toenails will go so they can latch on, so we'll actually be able to hold on to the shoe while trying to walk without the bottom. And we did the same thing for our heels. The experience of cutting off the bottoms of our shoes was very freeing and detoxifying, just like walking barefoot is. So after we cut the bottoms off, we decided to try it out. So we went to our favorite store, Sephora, and as you know, they don't really like us in here without shoes. I needed to grab
as
a few things for a trip we're going on. The experience was absolutely perfect. The workers came up to us, they talked to us, they even complimented our shoes. I definitely recommend this if you're trying to go incognito barefoot. It's the perfect way to get all the benefits of going barefoot, but also have no one know.
So,
Josh,
initial reactions to this couple that says it is so important for one of being barefoot is such a high value to them that they've cut the soles off of all their shoes.
So if that's the case, if barefoot is such a priority, why was he wearing socks while he was cutting off the bottoms of the shoes?
Well,
I mean, that's a
great
question.
That's an important question.
That jumped out at me. I was like, this guy's a fucking phony.
Yeah. Well, so what are you saying, Josh? You're saying stand in business?
I think so.
Say, if you're going to be barefoot in the streets, you should be barefoot at home.
Yeah, barefoot in the streets, barefoot in the sheets.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, those sheets are disgusting.
Horrible. Yeah, so disgusting, they have to wash them twice a day.
There's something about the visual of them creating a shelf so that they could grip onto the shoes with their toes, so the shoes aren't flopping around. That really sent a shiver down my spine.
Sounds horrible.
And I did look through the comments to be like, what are people saying about
this? Yeah.
And it is mostly people being like, why don't you just get those barefoot shoes that are like,
Is this a fake thing?
No, this is real.
The shoe, like the barefoot people, it's like a big online community.
I get
that.
It's
on Facebook. It's on this whole thing. This is real, unfortunately. That's why it's in our cursed content.
Yeah, it's bleak.
It's bleak. Your face, can I just say your face?
When they revealed, when he held up his foot.
Oh. When you were watching them take the sole off, your face was horrified.
I mean, it wasn't like, because also some of the shoes that they have, it's like, these people are incomprehensible to me because they were cutting off like those Golden Goose shoes, it looked like, which are, they're like $600 shoes that are like beat to shit when you get them. It's like a real rich person, like, creative director guy, yoga mom.
Yeah, try, you know, like as we said with Kareem, I'm like trying to find one of those suckers to date.
But it's like these people already have $600 shoes that look like shit. And then they're cutting off the bottoms of them.
Yeah. They said their collection was worth $20,000.
Yeah.
The other line that I love is just, and as you all know, Sephora doesn't like it if we go in there barefoot. And I'm like, I need as now. Know, yeah, why does know. Everyone this, know? You have, why yeah. are you trying
and
to
she's
go
like,
Sephora barefoot?
Yeah, when we were there, they were talking to us. This like, is. They were. We asked questions. They even complimented our shoes. I'm like, what was your experience at a Sephora before? Because it sounds like you just had a normal Sephora experience.
Where before they'd be like, not again. Get out of here. Yeah.
You got to have your shoes on. Damn it.
This is. It's one, truly one notch. Like on the, like, if you have made a gradient of like things that are acceptable to do in public, this is one notch more acceptable than just jerking off.
Well,
one. It is, it's not as bad.
He's saying it's not as bad.
It's not as bad.
I say that it's two.
Okay,
because one would be being barefoot completely and being open about it, but they're closeted barefoot.
No. I think this is worse than being regular barefoot. I, like you said, stand on business. Be barefoot.
That is true because I don't want, if I'm talking to someone who's barefoot, whose full, like, soles are touching the ground, I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know that I'm in a Sephora and you're barefoot.
This is dick through the popcorn bag at the movies. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
This is like, you're trying to get something over on me and it's gross and you just be up front.
Yes. One time I was in, you know, I have a weakness. I have many weaknesses. I'm a human. But I was in the RIP, the White Castle that was on 8th Avenue one time. And I went to go order and this guy comes in and, you know, he looked like, I'm not going to, you know, make fun of a homeless person, but he looked like he was experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. But he came on with no shirt on and a shirt around his neck. And then all the employees are like, oh, come on, Steve. No, don't do this again. And then he turns to everybody in the thing and he's like, come on. No one else is wearing a shirt. And it's like, everyone was wearing a shirt. Like,
oh, I do love that. You
like, it's like, he was, but he kind of like, his voice trailed off when he was like, come on, look at everybody. But then he realized everyone else was wearing a shirt.
Oh, that's tough.
And then it's like,
he really started that with such confidence.
And it trailed off because he was like,
it's like, surely somebody, surely when I turn around, there's going to be one other shirtless dude.
And he's like, oh, come on. God, just let me order without a shirt on. It's like, just put the shirt on, Steve.
Yeah, you've got one.
He has one around the neck.
Yeah, and they don't count that. I think that's, you know, that's a little picky of the White Castle people.
He had slacks on and they were very low rise.
Okay.
You know, it was one of those where if he rose his arm,
yeah,
the dick was going to pop out.
Okay.
So he needed the shirt, I think.
I feel like.
You need partitions when you're ordering at a White Castle.
That could start fights. Yes. That could start fights.
So much more likely to be a fight at a White Castle than from seeing someone's dick.
But at a Mets game, though, then what?
Yes. Yeah, definitely fights at Mets games,
Mets games have fights. White Castle does have a lot of fights.
I'm thinking now, like, I guess based on, like, the way that these two people in the TikTok were operating, that maybe if he just draped the shirt over, like, he didn't fully put on the shirt, but he just draped it over the front of his body, that would kind of be, like, cutting the soles out.
Unfortunately, that is basically wearing a shirt. Yeah,
it's a halter top. He could have put a halter top on.
Yeah. To round this out, I will say that pretty much everyone in the comments was concerned that they were going to get ringworm, which I didn't even think about. But yeah. Because they were walking on, like, I get being like, it's good to be barefoot in the grass.
Sure.
It's good to, you know.
Touch grass. Yeah. That's
exactly. It's good to get your feet.
That's what they should be doing. They should get out of Sephora and go to where grass is.
But to be like, no, my feet need to be touching the New York City concrete.
They're in New York?
I don't know. They're definitely
in a city.
They were in a city
for that, for the Sephora.
Yeah, they were definitely in a city area for the Sephora of it. So to say, like, my feet, the soles of my feet have to touch the sidewalk in New York City, in Sephora. I just am
also,
like...
It's just all your shoes.
All of them.
That's like if every book in your apartment had a flask in it.
Yeah.
Like, can't some of them just be regular
shoes?
Have
one pair that's like, these are my fake out shoes.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
For when I want to pretend that I'm...
I know.
But
you're like, I need to be fake wearing shoes at every kind of occasion. Here's my fake dress shoes that I'm actually like, barefoot in.
It's also, I mean, if we want to go to the privilege of it all of like... Just don't buy shoes. Or it's also like, there are plenty of people that don't have shoes.
Yeah.
That would love your shoes.
Yes.
Like,
right?
And then you're taking these $600 shoes, $500 shoes, $200 shoes, and cutting the whole, it's just like.
But no, they're priceless now. According to them, the shoe collection was worth $20,000. Now it has been rendered priceless.
Well, they,
I mean, in a way.
Because of the benefits.
Truthful. Yes, yeah. Right. They misspoke. They meant worthless. Yeah. It's been rendered worthless.
Because the benefits are so great to being barefoot in a Sephora that you couldn't have shoes on for that time.
Can you imagine how bad your feet would feel if every time you went out, you had to cling with your toes to the front of your shoe? You would get home and you would be all gnarled. It would look like, Streganona's fingers.
That's insane. That's so insane. And also, like, you know, I have, you know, pretty rough feet. Like, I fucking was so pissed the other day when I went to go get a gel manicure and they charged me $15 extra to get callus remover.
Wow.
Like, damn.
Which is just the real cost of being a bad bitch. Whatever. Mm. But these people are going to get charged like $100. Like, yeah. I'm like, what are their pedicures like? That shit has to be so nasty.
Yeah.
They probably don't get them.
No, I don't
think
they're getting them. Because
you have like a callus teal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that part of it is that they want to develop like a hobbit's foot.
Yeah.
Like it's like a thick skin so that you can walk anywhere.
They can't even get it. They would just have to put the bottom of their foot up on one of those deli meat slicers once a week.
Literally.
And just get that bottom layer removed.
So that's cursed content. I'm sorry
brutal.
That you had to see that, but we did have to bring it to the people of Go Touch Grass Nation.
Yeah.
And I did feel like your background as someone who appreciates shoes.
Yeah.
It was the right thing to bring to you.
I hated it on a lot of levels. Thank you for that. It really
well,
now you'll always know that somewhere out there there is a couple that has cut the soles off all their shoes and is walking around.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Elise, for that.
And you're welcome.
And we're gonna do our final segment of the show, which is Grasshole of the Week.
Can't wait.
This is our segment of the show where we tell someone kindly or unkindly to go outside and touch some grass. Mm-hmm. And this week's grass hole was hard because there were so many people this week who need to go outside and touch grass. But this person has posted so much that it was like she made it her mission to be nominated grass hole.
Wow. Maybe one day, you know, that is a hope that I have one day for the podcast is that once we've achieved top of the charts world domination,
sure,
that people are saying, I want to be the grass hole. I'm trying to get on the podcast.
Well,
I want to be told to go touch grass.
Our grass hole of the week goes to Lauren, known as @LoyalToLauren on TikTok.
Okay.
4 days ago, Lauren was at Planet Fitness working out, and she saw a woman who had an exaggerated BBL. And she just, there's a lot of BBLs.
BBLs come up on the podcast so much.
A lot, because it's important. It's like,
Internet
it's the
discourse.
Boob jobs of this decade.
I was thinking recently, because it's like BBLs, there's like a place
Brazilian
you go, right?
Butt lift,
and then you go, if you want to get your hairline fixed, you go to
Turkey.
And I feel like every country should have, because it used to be, I think the like story, and this, stop me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm, that like, I think the term is gender reassignment surgery.
Oh, gender confirmed.
Yeah. Yes. And that would there was like a
affirming
like
gender affirming
surgery. And so like Sweden, I think, would do that for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I think every country should have a surgery.
BBLs,
people get them all over.
Yeah.
But it's called Brazilian butt lift, but you can get them all over. Mm-hmm. Turkey is known specifically
yeah.
for the hair transplant. And hair transplant TikTok It is crazy.
It's so
really
funny.
It's really fun and interesting, and some of them are really good. But Josh, let me finish.
Sorry.
We haven't even started to what happened.
No, I apologize.
So Lauren was at Planet Fitness working out, and she saw a woman who had an exaggerated BBL, and she decided to record. First, she put the camera on herself, and the text on the video says, "Okay, the BBLs have gone too far." And then she sneakily recorded this woman without her consent and then wrote on the wrote on the thing, "Way too far." And the caption on her post says, "Yeah, I'll keep my butt throw up emoji, hashtag BBL." The video got
Throw up emoji, it's like, oh no. Yeah.
I thought at first you meant like my butt stays throwing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, she's like the BBL's disgusting.
Yes, I understood.
But at first. The video got 1.9 million views on TikTok. I discovered this video on Twitter. So who knows how many people have seen this video. And the woman in the video who the other woman was talking about saw it. And this is what happened. This is Lauren's response to that lady reaching out.
So the lady who has the BBL, who Lauren said her BBL was a throw up inducing BBL, saw the video.
This is what Lauren replied.
So the girl with the BBL, she found me and she sent me a DM. Why would you do that, girl? You know, it's public to be out in public. Anybody could record you in public without your consent. I would think you would know that, but obviously you don't. You have a BBL. You're obviously not out here for intellect. You're out here to get famous off your ass. Is that what you're trying to tell me in your DM? That you want people to view your videos because you have ass? Girl, she sent me a DM like, oh, I'm getting you more views since you posted me on your page. Is that your motive? Because that wasn't mine. You know, like, I only spoke my side because consciously I don't want you on my conscience, and I want to say what I have to say, and I'm not going to suppress what I have to say. But okay, you come and find me if you want, but your messages don't really do anything to me, and people are always going to have their opinion. People are always going to say what they have to say, and that's their right. You shouldn't even be worried, right? But yeah, I wouldn't get no BBL. Like, that's just not. They've gone way too far. Like, that's too far. Like, you're at the gym, you're not even working out. You're showing off your ass at the gym. We're at the gym really trying to work out, like, really putting the effort in. Like, come on, girl. You trying to distract us from really putting that work in.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Even if that's not your intent. Just saying, you know, like, if you really had that good intention, then come forth with it. Don't be worried about what somebody else got to say. Like, okay.
So this was 2 days ago, right?
Okay.
I love the idea that someone else's BBL would be on your conscience. She was like, I had to speak out because I couldn't have that on my conscience.
Yeah.
Okay, so after this video, Lauren posted another video that says, I don't want a BBL look. I want a fitness enthusiast look. And the caption said, and it had a video of her, like, posing, you know, wearing leggings and stuff. And then the caption says, like, arm emoji, squats, RDLs, weights, and cardio is fine with me, workout emoji, hashtag toned body, hashtag natural body, hashtag no BBL. So, right, so now we're two videos, right?
Yeah.
Then she posted again another video that says building a muscler, you know, again, not muscular, muscler, juicy, jiggly booty is fun. And it's a video outside a gym. Then she posts an 8-minute video of her doing a story time of the incident. We're just going to listen to, like, the first 20 seconds of this 8-minute long video about the incident.
So since I have all this attention on me for being myself, let's talk about it. So basically, my sister invited me to Planet Fitness in Compton the other night, and I don't ever go to that location. And we were having a good time working out, until the girl with the dinosaur butt came in. And I'm like, okay, this bitch wants attention. But little does she know, we're in public. Anything can.
So then, wait, the caption of that says, going viral? Who cares? Hashtag viral story. In it, she doubles down. Then she posts another video of her dancing with the text on the video saying, how to grow a natural glute. Peach emoji, peach emoji, peach emoji. Then she posts another video that says, want to get strong? Go inner. And then with the muscle arm emoji. And it's a video of her lifting weights.
Sure.
Then she posts another video that's two minutes and 48 seconds that says, I haven't read into any of those BBL messages. So she's getting backlash because people are like, you're obsessed with this girl. What's wrong with you?
Sure.
And she made a 2 minute and 48 second video saying, I haven't read any of those BBL messages. And then the caption on that says, shout out to Issa Rae for the hit show Insecure.
Oh my gosh.
We take what you give us and make money off of it. Hashtag get ready. Hashtag security, but it's spelled S-E-C-U-I-T-T-Y.
Okay.
Hashtag okay. No BBL. Then she posted another video saying three workouts in one day, and it's of her working out, and then I don't have another way to describe it besides gyrating on camera.
Okay.
So she's gyrating on camera. Then she posts another video. This has happened in 4 days. She posts another video it's her punching a punching bag.
Okay.
And it says, when all females can do is try to lie about being fake hard. And basically it's someone will fight, be tough. So it's like, you're lying, like I'm the real deal. And the caption says, get in the ring and put down $10,000 on a legal fight or hush. Hashtag girls be weak. Hashtag can't fight.
Hashtag girls be weak. Damn.
Hashtag fake hard. Hashtag
girls be weak.
Hashtag come box. Hashtag get defeated. Hashtag stay undefeated. Hashtag workout.
Come box.
Okay.
Come box.
See, like come box.
Yeah.
With
come
me.
Box with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then she posted a video of her eating at Olive Garden. This was unrelated. I just thought
that's
it was
nice.
Funny. Yeah,
I was wondering what else she's been up to.
I know. Okay. I love when in the middle of like what's clearly like a storm like this, it's like, and also I'm at Olive Garden.
And also she's at Olive Garden.
Congratulations.
And she said someone else paid for it. So it's like, okay, great.
Congratulations to Olivia on her first communion.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And finally, 9 hours ago, she posted a video with a quoted section from an article from The Verge and the on-screen text says the law on recording in public, and in the clip of the article is like, technically it's fine, but basically even the clip that she posted wasn't really like exonerating, I mean maybe I can find it, but like it wasn't really exonerating her. It's just like, yeah, people should have an expectation that if they're in public they might be recorded and it's okay. That's so then the caption says, book smart / street smart. Hashtag learn. Hashtag grow. Hashtag teach. Hashtag clarity. Hashtag the law. Hashtag recording. Hashtag public. Hashtag law of mass media. Hashtag the media. Hashtag no BBL.
I think that's like a KRS-One verse from 1989.
Then, okay, so the woman in the video that she was recording has since come out and posted an explainer. And, you know, let me tell you something about the Go Touch Grass research team. We're bilingual, baby. So I'm just going to I'm going to just share a little clip.
Okay.
But this woman is speaking in Spanish.
Es verdad, yo vi el video y se burla. Usted debería reportarla. Para los que no saben, yo soy la del video.
She's like, it's me from the video.
Se atrevió a grabarme sin mi consentimiento dentro del gimnasio.
Taking a video of me. There's this woman taking a video of me without my consent, and it's bullying. It's also sexual harassment because she's taking a video of my ass.
Yeah.
And also, she's taking a video of my ass, and, you know, It's also like, this is against gym policy. Planet Fitness has, this is what this woman's saying, like, Planet Fitness has clear policies that are like, do not record other people without their consent. And also, like, again, that sexual harassment, she did not consent to or whatever. She goes on and says like, she knows she has a like exaggerated BBL, but she's also like an OnlyFans creator, and that's what her fans like, whatever. And it's made her money. You know, she has almost 50,000 followers. Like, she is like, she does have like a big following and whatever, you know. So there's that. And then in another video, we don't even have to look at the audio, but I mean, listen to the audio. But in it, she does like a side by side of this woman making fun of her. And also, like, telling the other girl, like, you're engaging in cyberbullying. Like, this is cyberbullying, and you specifically recorded my ass to make fun of me. So that came out, like, right after, like, the first or second video. And then this other girl, Lauren, has been posting through it. Mm. So that is why Lauren has gotten grasshole.
Yeah, I have so many thoughts yeah. about yeah. this situation. It's just, it's interesting to me because it's completely unclear. Lauren keeps being like, we were having a fine time at the gym until the lady with the BBL came in and she's distracting us. And it's like, it seems like she just went to the gym.
Yeah.
With a big butt. Yeah. That's all.
She went to the gym and she had a BBL. Yeah. That's not.
Josh says it's not a crime.
Not a crime.
It's not a crime to be at the gym with a big butt.
Exactly. And it's also very funny because her thing is like, it's not a crime to record people. It's not a crime to be at the gym with a big butt. Yeah. So
well,
why are you?
And also, it is a, like, the thing is that she's like, if you're in public, you're going to get recorded. Planet Fitness is not public.
Right.
It's yeah. a private yeah. business.
They have their own rules.
That people pay money to.
Yeah.
And she, you know, just like you pay your money there, she pays her money there. And she has a right to not get yeah. recorded.
Yeah. And just because something's not illegal doesn't mean that it's like cool to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, it's also like it's like this, it's this surgery shaming, it's this BBL yeah. shaming, like, you know, it's really mean-spirited. Yeah. And then again, the 12 videos that she posted in 4 days just is like, get offline, like, girl.
Going viral destroys people's brains because it takes a person who's like a person living a life and it makes them briefly famous without any yeah. benefit mm-hmm. and it destroys your brain. And then you go, and I think this is such a common reaction, right? To be like, not only was the thing I did fine, it's actually the right thing to do,
yeah.
right? Like if she was just like, you know, that was a little mean of me. This is like, I work really hard at the gym and it's stuff with my own body that seeing you makes me feel, and like, shouldn't have put you in my video and made it identifying. I didn't want to ruin your day. Fine. But just that she's like, not only do I hate big butts because they drive me crazy at the gym.
I can't work out in the presence of one.
I can't even lift weights. They make my arms jiggly. And
I become weak.
Yeah, yeah. Your butt takes the strength out of my muscles. But she's like, it's actually right of me to do, and you should fight me or else you're a coward.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
What? How did we get there? And she just wanted to have a big butt at the gym.
It's also like, you know, it's like, well, if you were smart, you would know that it's legal to record someone in public, but you're not smart because you have a BBL. It's like, girl, you don't know this woman.
It's
you
so
don't
mean.
Know this woman. You're being mean. You know nothing about her. You have your own things that you're projecting yeah. onto the somebody just because they have a BBL. And the thing is too, it's like, it's her body, which is what she's saying. She's like, what the woman, Melissa, she's like, look, it's my body. I'll do whatever I want. And just because someone has a BBL doesn't mean that they're stumped.
Yeah.
Then she started like speaking up for all women who have BBLs, which is really funny, but it's like, okay, cool. But she's like, it's my body. I'll do whatever I want with my body. And the thing is, we've talked about like BBL is a very dangerous surgery,
yeah.
but also you have to work out to maintain it. Like if you don't work out the muscles there and whatever, it will have like really crazy consequences too, which is like, it's like you put your life at risk, and if you don't do the right exercises to maintain it, it will be for nothing, because that's like a really common thing, is that they do go away.
I didn't
sometimes.
Know that part of it.
Like, yeah,
I knew it was dangerous.
It's super dangerous, but also like, depending on the kind, it can just go away.
Yeah.
So,
I just, it's also
fat deposits and stuff.
It's mm-hmm. funny that she has this like and this exists everywhere, but it's like this value judgment of like, if you were to dedicate your entire life to working out so that you had the results of a BBL, that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's not distracting and that's good. But for this woman to like get a BBL and then work out, it's like, you're bad. You did it. You got a big butt the wrong way. The right way is to do it the way that I personally am doing it.
And I'll fight you. It's like someone saw my dick at the Mets Stadium.
It's a full circle here at Don't Touch Grass. It's just like, this girl's a loser, which is why she was going viral on Twitter. Mm-hmm. People got, you know, again, as we talked about, people will take videos from their original content of TikTok, go on Twitter and roast them. And in this case,
they got
She did deserve it. It's like, you're a fucking loser. You're like, that is just loser behavior. I don't know how else to describe it. You got someone who wasn't bothering anybody and you fucking were harassing her, videotaping her without her consent. She called you out. She said, don't do that. Now this woman's banned from all Planet Fitness locations. So in the video, she's like,
That's like the most permissive gym. They give you pizza when you're there.
I know. People say, you know, it's a prison gym because it has the same, whatever. But she's banned. She's banned from all Planet Fitnesses. That's why all the videos of her working out are from other gyms. We probably don't know that she did that. But like, if I was in the other gym or whatever and I saw this, I would ban her from my gym, for sure. Too.
There's no way that she's going to learn the lesson of, I shouldn't do this at the gym.
No, I think it's very clear from her other posts, which I feel like is like the initial post is loser behavior to be like, I'm so irritated and annoyed by someone else's body. I can't work out and I'm going to film them and like I'm going to make my opinion public. That's like one layer. And then to just be like, actually going viral doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care what any of you guys are saying. I'm not reading the messages. Come fight me then. Pay $10,000. Get in the ring with me. It's fine. I'm at Olive Garden. Like, it's just like you're spiraling visibly.
And spiraling, it wasn't like the Melissa, this other woman, escalated, right? She was like, hey, this is just like, it's hurtful that you did this to me. And like, I don't think I'm stupid because I have the surgery. Here's who I am. She wasn't like, and now I have to fight you, right? She wasn't like threatening.
That's the thing too, is Melissa, the other woman, was like, in Spanish and in English, like, hey, I don't like when people make fun, and it's not okay to make fun of people for any kind of body. You know, and this is also a whole thing. Not necessarily BBL. It's funny. It's in this instance. But, like, that's the thing with fat people all the time, which is, like, people will take this minor celebrity, and I almost researched it, but, like, this minor celebrity back in 2014.
That model was banned
from Planet Fitness because she took a selfie and put it on Snapchat of this, like, fat woman in the background, and she's like, ew, I can't believe I have to see this in the gym. And then
it was like a woman changing too. Yes,
so she's banned, lifetime banned from Planet Fitness. And it's exactly like, it's like, this behavior is not okay at all. And also, which is a whole other thing, which people do for fat people, it's like, listen, you tell fat people to go to the gym. Or, you know, when people have a body that you find, like, not attractive or whatever, you say, go to the gym. Or when somebody has a BBL, they have to maintain it. Like, even Cardi B says, I know I bring up Cardi B all the time. It's like, even Cardi B's like, yeah, I got all these surgeries. But if you don't, even if you get lipo, whatever, if you're not working out to maintain it, it will, like, fuck you up. So it's like, this woman's doing what she's supposed to do, and then someone is having a problem with it. So it's like, it's just not okay. I don't know. There's this whole debate now about, like, what are the parameters of recording someone in public, recording a stranger in public?
It's such a it's so foul that it has come to this, right? Because it's like, I feel like before 10 years ago, and I'm not a person that's like, things are always getting worse. Like, the internet has made everyone worse. But I do think, like, this wouldn't have been a question 10 years ago, right? If you had been like, hey, would it be okay if I, like, took a video of a stranger and, like, showed it to everyone I know and, like, they showed it to everyone they know, you'd be like, that's one of the most fucked up things I've ever heard.
Grasshole of the week goes to Lauren.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that unkindly.
Yeah, so. I don't think this is a nice one.
It's not a Selena Gomez one where we're
It's not Touch Grass's self-care.
No. This is... Get off the internet, Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren, you got to stop posting. Maybe you just get back to Olive Garden.
Yeah. And but she's posting in Olive Garden. I'm like, go work out, but it's like, and don't post.
The absolute greatest twist would be if she also just had a smaller BBL that she was unsatisfied with.
Yeah, well, like her BBL just didn't like look that good. All right, well.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Josh, thanks for having me. It's been great to have you on the show. This has been another episode of Go Touch Grass. Josh. Now that all of our listeners have fallen in love with you, thank they want to hear more. Where can they find you? Where can they read your newsletter, sure. special, everything?
JoshGondelman.com is my website. It has all my tour dates. I'm going all over the country in the next few months because I'm filming a new special soon.
Yay!
Yeah, thank you. I'm at Josh Gondelman on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. My newsletter is joshgondelman.substack.com, but you can find that through my website too. And the special's there as well. So yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And guys, you can find me at Pandalise on Instagram and at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
And you can find me at Millie_Tamaris on Instagram and TikTok and at MillieTamaris on Twitter.
And don't forget to follow us at Go Touch Grass Pod on all platforms. Check out the Patreon. We've got a new episode up now about the kite baby mom talk
so
drama.
Much drama.
There's a lot going on there. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. And until next time,
Go Touch Grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.